Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tamura Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur on the very top line of Daf Lamed Aleph, a quote from the Mishnah, Rebbe Lozer Omer, Vlad Trefa Lo Yikrav Al Gabi Hamizbeach. The Mishnah told us in the name of Rebbe Lozer that the offspring of a trefa is not to be offered as a sacrifice. In other words, the animal itself, this offspring, is a healthy animal. However, it comes from a mother that is a trefa. And as such, Rebbe Lozer is of the opinion that he is of the unique opinion, that the offspring of a trefa is not to be offered on the altar as a sacrifice. As far as the markings are concerned, you can see we have a crown shape, and this is explained on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading. The Nosei is a topic, and Mivne is a structural note. From time to time, we offer these comments, topic headings, and structural notes that appear on the outside margin of your Shas Ozir, the Gemara that appears on your screen, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings. And here, this crown shape represents Shnei Gishois, two approaches, Lemetzius, to the case, the situation, Shalvat Vlad Trefa, of the offspring of a Trefa. Uvemai Pligi, Rebbe Lozer v'Chachomim, the Gemara will also deal with what is the point of controversy between Rebbe Lozer and the Chachomim. The Chachomim, who appeared in the Mishnah, mentioned, Kolo Asurim Legabi Mizbeach Lodosem Mutorim, all those animals that are themselves forbidden to be offered on the altar as a sacrifice, their offspring are allowed. Then Rebbe Lozer, who we are featuring here, comes along and says that an exception to this will be the offspring of a trefa, where the mother is not allowed and the offspring is not allowed. The Chachamim, though, disagree and say that though the mother is not allowed, the offspring is allowed. So now, focusing on Rebbe Lozer, who says, Vlad Trefa Lo Yikrav Al Gabi Mizbeach, the Gemara now continues. Two approaches. The first approach, Laman De'omar Trefa Yoledes, according to the opinion that says a Trefa is capable of giving birth, of procreating, of bearing a child. This issue of is or is not a trefa capable of bearing a child is a machloikis. So according to the opinion that says trefa yoledes, mishkachas law, you will have a case of vlad trefa kagoin shenitrefa. The mother first became a trefa, lubisof ibra, and then became pregnant. And because, according to this man, the Omar, that trefa yoledes, you could have a situation like this, where the mother became a trefa, and after she became a trefa, she then became pregnant. Ubaha pligi. And the following is the point of this of controversy between, we're talking about Rebbe Lezer and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. The Rebbe Lezer Sovar Zev Zeh Goreim Osir, and this expression we had in our previous shiur, Zev Zeh Goreim means two causes, two elements that are responsible for an outcome. One being a mutter cause and a or a generator and a forbidden generator. In this case, you've got the mother animal, which is a trefa. She represents a problem. And you've got the father, the male animal, with whom she mated, which is a healthy, permissible generator. What is the outcome when you have a positive and a negative generator? So, Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion also that the result is nevertheless forbidden. So, based on his opinion of Zev Ezer Goreim, the offspring is forbidden. And Rabbonon Savri, Zev Ezer Goreim Mutter. The Rabbonon disagree. When you have two generators, and one of them is a permissible one, so the outcome is also permissible. Now, Laman Diomar Trefa Eino Yoledes, according to the opinion that says that a Trefa does not regenerate, doesn't bear children, and how is it that the Mishnah is talking about the Vlad of a Trefa? Mishkachas law, the case is Kigon Shi'ibro Ulubasof Nitrefa, where the mother first became pregnant and then became a trefa. So since it conceived in a healthy state, that explains how you have a trefa bearing a child, because it conceived in a when it was still healthy, then it experienced trefus ubaha pligi. And concerning this case, the machlokes tanoim of the Mishnah is explained as follows: the Rebbe Lezer saw bar ubar yerech imohu. The ubar, the fetus, is considered the leg or an extension of the mother, and just like the mother is something that you could not offer on the altar, so to the ubar, the fetus, which is the extension of the mother, cannot be offered. Rabbanan savri ubar lav yerech imohu. The Rabbanan hold that the ubar is not yerech imo, is not an extension of the mother, but is a separate entity. So even though the mother may be forbidden, the Chachamim hold that the Vlad would be allowed. Let us glance at a Rashi. Dibur HaMaschil Zeh V'Zeh Goreim, the second line from the top, Rashi says, V'Zeh V'Zeh Goreim V'Leko L'Flugi V'Ubor Yerech Imo Hu. The analysis of ubar yerech imo, the ubar, the fetus, and it is an extension of the mother. That analysis is, you will not say that ela im kein ibro v'achar kach nitrufa. That analysis is appropriate when you have this situation of it having conceived and then becoming a trefa. The hasam, in that case, lemanda omar yerech imo hu. The opinion that says that the ubar is an extension of the mother, ira trefus begufo. The trefus sets upon the offspring itself, directly on the offspring. Just like the leg of the mother is a trefa, is ruined, so too the offspring, because it's just an extension of the mother. However, in a case where the mother became a trefa first, so the trefus had no effect on the vlad, the vlad's not there at all, and only afterwards did the mother conceive. Leko lemeimar yerech imahu. We don't say it's an extension of the mother. Shareyesh bot sad heter. There's another side, a side of permissibility, namely the male that mated with the trefa. The male is also a contributing factor. Elo, in that case, bozeh vzeh gorein pligi. Then the analysis of zeh vzeh gorein kicks in, and we saw that in our Gemara. Let us now continue with the Gemara. At this point, we see a triangle marking. On the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The triangles are, you'll see, feature the Rav Huna, and a number of lines later, you'll see Abaye. And you'll notice we have used a numbering also in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you just scan down, you'll see a number 2 a bit later, and that makes it easier to find where Abaye is. And they appear in two different directions, these triangles. And we've written on the side, Rav Huna v'Abaye, Shnei Deos HaCholkos, two Amoraic opinions that disagree be'emdot ha'chachomim v'rebelozer regarding the position or the position taken by Rebelozer and the Chachomim legabi efroach beitzas trefa, the bird, and as you know, birds, the Yonah and the B'nai Yonah and Torim birds are suitable as bird offerings on the altar. So what about these Mizbeach destined birds that hatch from an egg laid by a bird that is a trefa? That's the Efroach. The Efroach is the chick that hatches from a Beitzah's trefa, a Beitzah, an egg that comes from a trefa. So we'll see two opposite opinions regarding that matter, And we've also used a double underline with a with dots in it to highlight the phrase Moedim Reb Elazar LeChachamim or Moedim Chachamim LeReb Elazar. As you can see by taking a, pardon the pun over here, a bird's eye view of this Gemara, you can see those phrases highlighted where one Tanaic side admits or concedes to the other Tanaic side. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, Moedim Chachomim LeRabbi Eliezer, the Chachomim will concede to Rabbi Eliezer. Now the Chachomim are of the opinion in the Mishnah that the Vlad of something forbidden is itself not forbidden. However, here the Chachomim will concede that the offspring of something forbidden will also be problematic. And what's the case that the Chachamim concede to Rabbi Eliezer on that point, where the offspring is problematic? And we, just to be a little more precise, Rabbi Eliezer spoke about the offspring of a trefa as being problematic. So, because Rabbi Eliezer didn't have a machlokis with the Chachamim across the boards, if you look back on the at the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Omid Beis, you'll see that Rabbi Eliezer's comment was focused on the offspring of a trefa. Now, there are many other cases of mothers that are problematic, but here we're focusing on offspring of a trefa. The Chachamim holding offspring is okay. Rabbi Eliezer holding the offspring of trefa not okay. And here Rav Huna is saying that the Chachamim will concede to Rabbi Eliezer that the offspring of a certain kind of trefa is a problem. And when is that? The efroyach, with regard to the chick of beitas trefa, of an egg laid by a trefa mother. And here we're talking about b'nei yonah and torim. Sometimes they're translated having to do with doves. So we are saying that here everyone will agree that such a bird that hatches from an egg coming from a mother trefa bird, is a problem. Is usser she usser my taima? Why is the case of the egg something unique? Ad kan lo pligi ole de Rabbi Eliezer. Up till this point, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. Elo bevlad behema, with regard to the offspring of a behema. Cow, a sheep, a goat, where the mother is a trefa. Why? The me'avira koravya. Me'avira koravya is literally the development of the embryo is in a type of air space, air pocket, if you will. In other words, in our terms, it develops in its in a placenta, in a sac that's somewhat isolated from the rest of the mother. It develops in its own environment. Avol beitzas trefa migufa de tarnagolta koravya afilu rabbonan modu. An egg, when it develops it's completely surrounded by all kinds of arteries, veins, different types of vessels that embrace the egg inside the mother bird. And the relationship, according to this approach, of the egg to the mother is a closer relationship than the development of an embryo in an animal. And therefore, because it's so closely tied up with the mother, even the Rabbanan concede that the egg itself, the developing egg itself, is viewed as a trefa. The Rashi explains this a bit, and he says, if you notice the Rashi, you'll see the Rashi in the narrow lines about the fourth narrow line. There's a Dibur HaMaschil that you might see between the lines. The Me'avira Koravya, Vlad Behema, Beme'e Behema, the embryo in the womb of the mother animal, Eino Oduk Begufa, it's not attached to the mother's body, Elo Tolui Ba'avir, it's suspended. It's suspended, suspended in midair, but it means it's suspended. It's ume atzmahu notzar v'godel v'holech, and it develops on its own. Avol beitza kolzman she'eino nigmara, the egg developing inside a bird as long as it hasn't been completed. Aduka be'eshkol ugdela, v'nigmara miguf hatarnegolus. It's attached to the eshkol. The eshkol is this confluence of arteries and vessels that surround the developing egg. And as a result of this closer relationship to the mother, the Chachamim concede to Rebbe Elazar that the beitzas, the efrach, beitzas trefa, is in fact a problem. And also to the Mizbeach. Omar le Rava le Rav Huna. Tanya de Mesei Aloch. He claims to have a Tanaic source to support Rav Huna's position. The following source, Maloy, you can see that it's a Tanaic source by virtue of the fact that it's in a frame, as we frame off all Tanaic sources in Gemara markings. The source says, Maloy Tarvid Rima, Habo Me Odom Chai. Tarvod is literally a spoon, but it's a certain quantity known in Halacha as the Malo Tarvid. Rima is decay, a human body decay. So if you have this quantity, Malo Tarvid, of Rima, of body decay, that comes from a living man, where a certain part of his body has ceased to function, if you will, and there's no more blood circulation, and that part of the body will decay. Now, a Malo Tarvid of that, that comes from a living person, and then the person dies, but it's removed from the person when he is alive. Rabbi Eliezer mitame v'chachomim mitaharin. This machlokis, we should just give a little backdrop, that if you have literally a dead body, a corpse, a human corpse, and you have, as it decays, you have this amount of decay, this malo tarvid, which we mentioned is a quantity, if for lack of better terms right now, a spoonful of human decay tissue, that is mitama. It's mitama, it conveys ritual impurity to the level of tumas meis, just like human flesh, a kezias of human flesh is mitama tumas meis, so too this quantity of decay. However, here we're talking about decay that comes from a living person. So in this case, you have a machlokes tanoim. We should point out also that a complete limb that's severed from a living person is called aver min achai, and that is metame tumas meis. That has its own high level of defilement associated with it that conveys death, defilement, tumas meis. Here we're not talking about a complete limb, we're talking about decay coming from a living person. So regarding this matter, we see a machlokes tanoim. Reb Lezer says it will be metame, and the Chachamim say it will be metahir. It's metahir means it doesn't convey ritual impurity. Ad kan lo pligi rabbonon olei el barima the pirsha bi'almahu. Up till this point, you have a machlokes between the Chachamim who are metahir as opposed to Reb Lezer's metame, but it's only because it's pirsha. It's considered like that which is separated from or simple waste matter. Simple waste matter is not metame. Avol beitza. But an egg, the migufa de tarnegoilas, who that comes from the body of the animal, the bird itself, it's not simple waste. It develops as a part of the body of the mother bird. Afilu rabbonon modu, even the rabbonon would concede that this is usur. So that, just to say it again, rima from a chai, that the Chachamim will say is simple waste. However, an egg from a trefa mother, from a trefa mother bird, that's considered like from the body itself. And therefore, it takes on the identity of a trefa. And that's what Rav Huna was saying, that even the Chachamim, who we see to be lenient, will say, in other areas, not when it comes to the beitza coming from a trefa. Omar le Abaye. Lo and behold, we see a triangle whose direction is flipped over, point facing downwards. And as we said before, now an opposite approach. Adarabba, ibcha mistabra. If anything, he says the opposite is logical. Ad kan lo polig Rebbe Elazar olayo de rabbonon elo barima de ikri odom mechayim rima. Up till now, Abaye argues that there is a machlokis between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar regarding Rima, whereby Rabbi Elazar will be willing to say that the Rima is Metame, and the Chachamim say it's not, being that a person, when he is alive, he is also called Rima. Dichtiv v'tikvas enosh Rima uben adam tolea. So that here, the Rabbi Eliezer would say that the Rima is considered like the person, and just like a Aver min hachai is mitame, so too the Rima that comes from a person. And you can see this is explained in the Rashi that Rebbe Lezer will be saying that the Rima is considered like Aver min hachai, like the limb from a living person, which is mitame. It conveys a high level tuma of tumas meis. However, avol be'efroyach, with regard to the chick that comes from an egg laid by a trefa, emas kedela, when does the chick start its development? L'chi misricha, when the content of the egg goes bad, it becomes disgusting, it becomes rotten. V'chi isrucha, at the point that it becomes rotten, and at which point the chick starts developing, afro bi'almahu, that which is rotten is considered like mere dirt. It's not considered part of the mother, part of a trefa, or anything to do with any living animal. It's considered dirt. Afilu Rebbe Elazar Moida, even Rebbe Elazar will concede that it will be mutter legabi mizbeach. You could then use that chick that developed from the egg coming from a trefa as a korban. The old Tanya Behedyo, and furthermore, we have an explicit Tanaic source indicating that Rabbi Elazar will concede to the Chachamim regarding the chick case coming from a Beitzas Trefa. The source says, Moida Rabbi Elazar l'Chachamim be'efroyach Beitzas Trefa shem mutar. If you notice, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, and compare this to the arrow that you see above to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. That line was pointing to where it spoke about the Efroach Beitzas Trefa of Rav Huna that said Osir. Here we have the Efroach Beitzas Trefa, and it says Mutter in a Tanaic source. So Omar Lay, so he says back, E Tanya, if it says so in a source, so I can't argue with that. So that what you have here is that Rava originally tried to bring a support to Rav Huna from an inference in the source dealing with the Rima. Rabbi Abaye responds to Rabba and says, logically, I would say to the contrary, and not only that, but there's a Tanaic source supporting that. At the end of this discussion, Rava concedes, well, if you have a Tanaic source indicating that Rabbi Elazar will concede to the Rabbanan in the case of the chick coming from the Beitzas Trefa, well, you can't argue with sources, and we thereby rest the case. So when you look at this entire discussion and you focus on the issue of a chick developing from an egg coming from a trefa mother bird, the chick will be mutter. As we continue in the Gemara, we come upon another quote from the Mishnah. This is from, again, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Omid Beis, where Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus Omer, Kshera sheyonko min atrefo psula me'al gabi hamizbeach, a kosher variety animal, but it nursed, it suckled from a trefo, that renders the Kshera animal as unfit as a sacrifice. Our Gemara. Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus Omer Kshera, My taima, and we see a geometric form, a trapezoid or volcano shape, on the outside margin under our mivne heading, we have written shlavim, stages, lahasbir, shitas, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, dikshere shionka, minat shreifa, psula me'al gabi hamizbeach. So you see the number one here, and a couple lines later, number two. So it's stages in trying to explain this halacha. So, my taima, why is it that a kosher variety animal, a kosher animal that suckles, that nurses from a trefa, is rendered unfit? E lema demifatma mina, if it's because it's fattened up through it, in other words, it eats from something that's unacceptable, from the milk of a trefa. Elameato he'echilo kashina v'dezoro chinami dasira. If an animal were to eat from forbidden grains, grains that were dedicated to an idol, those are kashine avodazar, is that going to render the animal that eats such a thing forbidden? No, it wouldn't render it unfit. Ella, Tony, Rabbi Chanina, Trita, Kameh, de Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Chanina, Trita, explained or taught in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking about an animal who from morning to morning was nursing on this milk. And through this nursing that it does every morning, it is able to sustain itself for a whole day. Me'eslais means for a 24-hour period. And Rashi elaborates a bit more on this and says, "Hoyol v'yicholu lamod." You notice Rashi across from here, "V'yicholu lamod al oisei cholav shel shachris meis leis." Since it can exist, subsist upon this milk that it nurses from morning to morning for a full day, for a full 24-hour period, beloi shum achila cheres, without any other food, ukshigia meis leis chozor v'yonkan. When the 24 hours lapses, it goes back to nursing. Hilkach kol gedilasim imenohi. Its entire development is based on this milk from a trefa. V'afilu ochlo dvarim acherim b'intayim. Even if it happens to eat other things, it doesn't need to eat those other things. It can sustain itself on this milk alone. So its whole development, it's not just a matter of a meal here and there, but its entire sustenance could be, or is based on this, potentially based on this milk that it nurses from a trefa that has an effect on this offspring. So there's a common the cliche that says you are what you eat, so you are what you nurse. And if it's nursing from trefa milk, and it could sustain itself on that alone, that makes the offspring, or this vlad, something that is forbidden to the mizbeach. Continuing in the Gemara, kol hakotshim shenasu trefa ein poidin, all sacrifices that became trefa, you don't redeem them. Shein poidim as hakotshim achilin leklovim. Redemption is not to be done when the outcome of the redemption is to use the meat as the feed for dogs. In other words, as opposed to an animal that develops a blemish that we do redeem, because as a result of the redemption of the sanctified animal, it now can be used as meat for serving people. That's quite all right. But to redeem something and its only purpose would be to be used as dog food, that is not done. Mino hani, maybe from where do we know this? The Tano Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, and before going on, we should take note of the Roman numerals that we have, one, and a few lines later, number two. There's a squiggle line expression, Iko Diamri, indicating a second version, and if we glance at the outside margin, we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, Roman numerals 1 and 2 are featured. Beis Lushonos Bedroshas HaPosuk Devorim Beis Perik Beis Posuk Tezvov. We will see two versions of how to expound upon the Psukim in Devorim Perik Beis Posuk Tezvov, and the diamond with colored in tips in opposite directions represents Maskonos HaFuchois, opposite conclusions. E poidim es hakotshim achim leklovim. Do we redeem sanctified animals and to serve eventually as dog food? So now, continuing in the Gemara, Minohani Mili, from where do we know Ein Poidim as a Kachim Achim Liklovim? The Torah Rabbanan, the following Tanaic source. This source is expounding on a Pasuk in Dvarim Perek, Yud Beis Pasuk Tes. Well, we've included this Pasuk on the inside margin of your Gemara. You can see it says there, Rak Bechol Avas Nafshecha Tizbach. V'yochalta v'osar, kevirkas Hashem elokecha, asher nosan l'cho, b'chol sherecha, atomei v'ator yochlenu, katzvi v'cho ayol. In this pasuk, we see the word tizbach, and the source says, from tizbach v'loi giza, you can slaughter it. We're dealing with psulei hamukdashim, that's the topic of this pasuk, sacrifices that became unfit. From the word tizbach, we infer slaughter, yes, shear, no. V'ochalta, you shall eat it. After it's redeemed, you can eat it. V'lo l'klovecha, but not your dogs. Basar, v'lo cholav, use it for its meat, not keep it alive for its milk. In other words, one is not to keep the psuah mekdashim around for milking them. Mikan, from here we learn she'ein poidim es hakodshim lachilon leklovim, that one is not to redeem sanctified animals with the purpose of eventually serving, using it as dog food. So that in the case of a trefa, where you can't eat the trefa, as opposed to a blemished animal, you cannot eat trefa. What are you going to do with it after you redeem it? Well, the only thing to do with it is feed it to the dogs. So this halacha is telling us that one does not redeem the sanctified animals with that goal in mind. Iko v'amri. We now have a second version. Tizbach v'ochalta. In this case, these two words are darshaned together. Ein l'cho bohen heter elo mishas zvicho ve'elech. One does not have any permissibility in psulei hamukdashim other than from the point it's slaughtered onwards. That is in opposition to the idea of benefit you would get from it when it's alive, which would be shearing and milking. So what this drosha is telling us is that you're allowed to benefit from them, but only after the point it's slaughtered. You're not allowed to derive life benefits, namely giza, shearing, and cholav. However, after slaughtering, you can benefit. What kind of benefit? Well, that's open. You can even feed it to the dogs, because that's a benefit that you will receive after it's slaughtered, after it's redeemed and slaughtered. Because savar, this source is of the opinion poidim es hakodshim lachilon leklovim, that you can redeem sanctified animals, sacrifices, with that goal in mind of using it to feed the dogs. The Rashi across from here says ikar diamri tizbach v'ochalta basar ein l'chobo heter achila elo mishas zvicha lafuke, to the exclusion of cholav v'giza, milk and shearing. Dehanome chayim hi, those are benefits that one derives when the animal is alive. Avol, however, poidim es hakodshim, you can redeem these sanctified animals that have become unfit because of a blemish, lahachilon leklovim, to feed them to dogs. V'lo miyasir le v'yochalta, the word v'yochalta is no longer available, lemidrash v'lo leklovecha, to the exclusion of the dogs. Namely, we're not darshaning v'yochalta saying you for your eating and not for your dogs. U'mehach drosha mashma de leklovecha shapir domi. From this approach, it appears that for your dogs is okay. Tahachi mashma, all that what we see from here is as follows. Ata lo tochal kodim zvicha, klomar lo tishani mechayim. You don't eat from it when it's alive. Now, no one eats from things before they're slaughtered. So the word eats has to do with benefit. You're not to benefit from it when it's alive. Avol klovecha delachar misahu, as far as feeding it to the dogs, which is a situation after it's already dead. Afilu below zvicha, even if it's not slaughtered, shapir domi, that would be okay. Upoidim es hakodshim lachlim leklovim, and you can redeem the kodshim to feed them to the dogs. Utrei tanoi ninhu, these represent two schools of Tanaic thought. There are two different Tanaic opinions on this matter. V'ochi mukminon, and thusly it is established in a different Gemara. There's a Girsa that says in Psochim. At this point then, you see these two opinions, and they're highlighted with our markings, these two diamonds with the opposite directional colored in tip. This is the end of the sixth perek, at which point we now begin the seventh perek, the title of which is Yesh B'Kodshei Mizbeach. So before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading, under which we've written Hevdelim, distinctions, Bein Kodshei Mizbeach L'Kodshei Berek Habayis, things sanctified to serve as actual sacrifices, those are sanctified for the altar, as opposed to things sanctified to the temple repair fund, known as Bedek Habayis. The Mishnah. Yesh b'kodshei mizbeach, shem b'kodshei bedek habayis. There are elements to things dedicated to the mizbeach, to the altar, that you don't find with regard to things dedicated to the temple repair fund. The yesh b'kodshei bedek habayis, shem b'kodshei mizbeach. And likewise, the opposite. There are elements that you find by the kodshei bedek habayis that you don't find by the kodshei mizbeach. And the Mishnah now elaborates. Shekodshei mizbeach. You notice how we've underlined this and called this Aleph. We'll see here Kodshei Mizbeach featured, and later in the Mishnah on the third line from the top of Amud Beis, you'll see an underlined Yesh B'Kodshei Berek Habayis, and we call that Beis. So here we continue with the Mishnah in its detail. Shekodshei Mizbeach Oysin Temura. Animals dedicated as sacrifices to the altar can generate Temura, the replication of sanctity onto another animal. V'chayovin, skipping the printer's parentheses section, v'chayovin aleya mishum pigol, noisar v'tamei, one who deals with kodshei mizbeach could be in violation of pigol, which is a situation where a person has an incorrect mindset while processing a sacrifice. And nosar is a sacrificial meat left over beyond the acceptable time. The tome is a functions of ritual impurity. Now, continuing on the top of Lamed Aleph from the base, uvlodon v'chalovon osur, the offspring and the milk of sacrificial animals are forbidden. Or osur la'achar pidyonon, are forbidden after they have been redeemed. In other words, if you have an animal that was dedicated as a sacrifice and it became unfit, and after you redeemed it, it then produced milk or bore offspring, those are forbidden. V'hashochton b'chutz chayav, one who slaughters a sacrifice that is not blemished, an unblemished sacrifice outside the Beis HaMikdash, he is guilty of shechitas chutz, of slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash, a sacrifice which carries with it a kores penalty. V'ein noisin mehem le'umenin b'scharan, you don't use sacrifices to pay the artisans of the Beis HaMikdash their wages. Masha'ein kein b'kodshei berek habayis, and all of this is in opposition to what you are able to do with kodshei berek habayis, things dedicated to the temple repair fund. Yesh b'kodshei berek habayis, that you don't find by the kodshei mizbeach shestam hekdeshos leberek habayis. If a person sanctifies something without specifying for what he has sanctified it, it automatically goes to the temple repair fund. Hekdesh berek habayis chal al hakol. Dedication of things to the berek habayis goes even on wood and stones, on everything. Umoyalin begidulehen, and one who, let us say, dedicated some type of tree or plant to the temple repair fund, and it produces further growths, those are the gidulehem, one would be in violation of mi'ilah, the prohibition of benefiting from it. The ein bohen hano l'kayhanim. And it's they, as opposed to sacrifices, which Kohanim eat from, things dedicated to the temple repair fund are not a source of benefit to the Kohanim. Before going on in the Gemara, we'll notice very shortly a new geometric form. In this case, we'll be featuring a triangle. And on the outside margin under the Nosei Mivneh heading, we have written, where you see the triangle featured, Kushyos al Haklal. These are going to be challenges or questions on the rule, the Chol Kodshei Mizbeach Oysin Temura, the rule that says that all things dedicated as sacrifices are capable of generating Temura, the replication phenomenon. The Gemara. Uklolahu, is it really a rule? Is it a reliable rule to say the whole koche mizbeach oisin tmura, that all things dedicated to the temple repair fund can generate tmura? Vehare oifois de koche mizbeach hein, birds that have been dedicated to the altar, they are an example of koche mizbeach. Utnan hamenochos v'ha'oifos ein oisin tmura. It says meal offerings and birds do not generate tmura. So here you have our rule being contested. The Gemara answers ki kotoni abehema. The Mishnah that teaches that kochi mizbeach ein oisin tmura is a rule restricted to animals, and it doesn't intend to deal with birds in the first place. So, as far as animals are concerned, the rule applies that koche mizbeach do generate tmura. True, birds do not. Vehare vlad de koche mizbeach hu, the offspring of a sanctified animal, which is something that is can be offered on the altar. The offspring of a sacrifice can, yes, be offered on the altar, utnan, and yet we have a rule, ein havlad oisit mura. So we have something else that's called koche mizbeach, and yet it does not generate tmura. That's a challenge to our Mishnah. The Gemara answers, our Mishnah is, ha money, Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, diomar vlad oisit mura, that a vlad does generate tmura. And hence the rule stays intact that kachim is bayach, which will include a vlad kachim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, generates tmura. Question, vare tmura atzma, the animal that is the replicate of an original sanctified animal. So we'll call it the tmura, the replica. That itself is the kachim is bayach. It is something that you offer on the altar, utnan, and we have a Mishnah that says, ein tmura oisa tmura. So here you have another example of koche mizbeach that do not generate tmura. Again, contesting the rule, or contrary to the rule of our Mishnah that says koche mizbeach do generate tmura. The Gemara answers, ki kotoni, our Mishnah, when it teaches its rule, a ikir zivcha, referring to the original. When you're dealing with an original sanctified animal, sanctified as sacrifice animal, that does generate tmura. The fact that byproducts do not generate tmura is not a challenge to the rule of our Mishnah, which is focused on ikur zivcha, the original korban. Oh, hashtodosis lahachi, now that we've come to this point, afilu temo rabbonon, you can say that our Mishnah is even according to the rabbonon, as opposed to what we said a few lines up. You'll notice an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and one above. Parallel them, on that line above, we had dashed underline claiming Rabbi Yehuda, that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. You don't have to use that argument or that answer right now. You can say that our Mishnah is Rabbanan. Ki kotoni, our Mishnah, when it teaches its rule, is a ikur zivcha, limited to original sanctified sacrifice. It generates tmura. Therefore, if you introduce things like the vlad tmura, which we had mentioned earlier, that it does not generate tmura, we don't have to say that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Simply say, vlad tmura is not original sacrifice. And therefore, the fact that it says that a vlad does not generate tmura is fine. That's okay. It doesn't challenge our Mishnah's position, which is in accordance with the Rabbanan, that in fact say ein vlad oisa tmura, because our Mishnah is focused on original sanctity, and original sanctity does generate tmura. V'ein noisnin mehen l'umanin v'chulei. Our Mishnah said that you don't use koche mizbeach for paying artisans of the Beis HaMikdash. However, ha koche berek habayis, we can infer, though, that koche berek habayis, things dedicated to the temple repair fund, noisnin, we do pay the artisans of the Beis HaMikdash with those items. Mino hani mili, from where do we know this? Amar Rabbi Avoh, Amar Kro, Rabbi Avoh quotes the pasuk that says, V'asu li mikdash, you shall build for me a temple, Mishali, from my funds, so that if something was dedicated to the temple repair fund, you can use those funds for Asuli Mikdash, for the making of the Mikdash, including in which is the maintenance of the Mikdash, the temple repair fund, and hence Mishali, things dedicated to the temple repair fund, can be used for maintaining the Beis HaMikdash, and what we simply mean is paying those that maintain it, the artisans. Yesh b'kotche berek habayis, stam hekdeshos leberek habayis, v'chal al hakol. From that which our Mishnah taught, that there is, with regard to kotche berek habayis, that Mishnah had said, shestam hekdeshos leberek habayis, we are saying that if you dedicate something in an unqualified fashion, so it goes to the temple repair fund, and also we had mentioned in the Mishnah that it is chal on everything. Man Tano, who is the author of this idea, and hence of our Mishnah? Omar Reb Chiya bar Abba, Omar Reb Yochanan, Deloi k'Reb Yoshua. The Mishnah does not conform to Rebbe Yoshua, but rather to Rebbe Eliezer, that we will see shortly in the upcoming Tanaic source. Before we go on, we have some structural business to deal with. You notice the crown shape here, and on the outside margin under our Nosei heading, we have a topic heading here, Das Mishnosenu, the opinion of our Mishnah, Destam Hegdeshos Koleo Behemos, including animals, Lebedek Habayis. If a person has possessions, including animals, and he says, I want to sanctify them, it doesn't say to what, it will go to the temple repair fund. Man Tano, who says such a thing? The mivneh that we have here, the structural note featuring the crown, machloikas e lahamid mishnosenu k'Rabbi Eliezer oiloi. We'll see a controversy as to whether we should set up our Mishnah as Rabbi Eliezer or not. An additional marking that we'll run into is the use of the double underline, which features, highlights the expressions zechorim and nekevos, male and female animals. Let us now turn to the Gemara. In response to the question is, who is the author of our Mishnah? Amar Reb Chiya bar Abba, Amar Reb Yochanan, Deloi k'Rebbe Yoshua. Our Mishnah that said, Stam Hekdeshos, including animals, is Lebedek Habayis, is not in conformity to the opinion of Rebbe Yoshua. Rebbe Yeshua, we will see in a few lines from now, says that if a person dedicates his property, his holdings, and he happens to have animals, if they're, of course, unblemished animals that are, in theory, suitable for the altar, those animals go directly to the altar. They are used as sacrifices and not kotche berek habayis. Rebbe Eliezer, on the other hand, speaks about the animals and their value, going, the value of animals, in fact, ending up in the Kodshei Bedek Habayis fund. So just to review that point again, which we'll see in the text very shortly, according to Rabbi Yeshua, animals that are suitable for the Mizbeach will go directly to the altar, and none of their value will end up in the temple repair fund. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, will speak about male animals that are suitable as a korban ola. Those will be sold to people that need a korban ola, and their value will go to the kotche berek habayis, all being a function of stam hekdeshos has to go to the berek habayis. So now we see the Tanaic source that you can see in a frame, and we're going to be looking for these two opinions, especially the opinion of, or the opportunity to say that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Yoshua. Desanyo hamakdish nechosov, a person who dedicated his property, his holdings. V'hoyo bohen behemo ru'uyo legabi mizbeach zechor minekevas. And the person had in his holdings animals that were fit for the altar, be they male or female animals. Rebbe Lezer Omer. Rabbi Elazar says, how do you approach these animals? Zichorim, the male animals, imachru litzarche olos, are sold to people that have an ola obligation, an ola sacrifice obligation, and you get money for that sale. Unekevos imachru litzarche shlamim, and female animals will be sold to people that need to bring a shlamim sacrifice. Udemayan, the money that you get from these sales, yiplu im sha'ar nechosim lebedek habayis, will go toward the temple repair fund with the rest of his holdings, of his property that he had dedicated. And here we're emphasizing that this opinion, the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, is stam hekdeshos, unqualified sanctification, lebedek habayis, afilu behemo, even animals. Rebbe Yeshua Omer, zechorim, with regard to male animals that are part of a person's estate that he dedicated to the realm of sanctity. Hey, not small on yikrivolos. Now we've dashed underlined this. This is the critical point. The animals themselves will go to the mizbeach, directly to the mizbeach. No sale of these animals to people that need olos, but directly to the mizbeach. This is taking the side that says something that's fit for the mizbeach. The stam kedusha is for the mizbeach. The unqualified kedusha of something fit for the mizbeach goes to the mizbeach. Une kevois, female animals imachru litzorche shlamim. They are sold to people that need to bring a korban shlamim. V'yavi b'dmeim olos, and the money that you get from the sale of the females will be used for the purchase of ola sacrifices. Notice. You're buying olos. The money is not going to the temple repair fund. Ushaar nechosim lebedek habayis. The rest of his property will go to the bedek habayis. The rest of his property not being something that's not fit for the mizbeach. So as we emphasized before, and you can see with the markings, our Mishnah that said stam hekdeshos are lebedek habayis, the unqualified sanctification of one's property, and here we're focusing on the animals, goes to the temple repair fund, is not something that Rabbi Yoshua would have said. Upligo de Rav Ado bar Avo, that which we set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer, is not like the approach of Rav Ado bar Avo. The Omar Rav Ado bar Avo. Now, here we have another structural phenomenon. We spoke earlier about the crown shape. And the crown shape represented the issue of setting up our Mishnah either like Rabbi Eliezer or not like Rabbi Eliezer. Now, the diamonds that we have here, and we also have Roman numerals 1 and 2 that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, represent Shnei Lushonos B'divrei Rav Ado, two versions of Rav Ado, Shemazbir, that explain Mosai Cholkin Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua. Under what circumstances do Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua disagree? So, as we continue in the Gemara, we should be aware of all of these different structural elements. The Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo Omar Rav, Be'eder, with regard to a herd, Shekuloi Zichorim, that is entirely male, Afilu Rebbe Elazar Moide, even Rebbe Elazar will agree. Let us say a person dedicates a herd of animals that are all male. Even Rebbe Elazar will agree. A person wouldn't pass up on the opportunity of having a dedication to the altar in favor of a dedication to the Bedek Habayis, to the temple repair fund. Now, right there, you see how this approach is, with regard to Rebbe Eliezer, is saying that you can have a case of Stam Hegdish and it will not go to the temple repair fund. So in this sense, this point is not like Rebbe Eliezer. This point would be explaining Rebbe Eliezer in a way counter to the Mishnah, or different from the Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, unqualified Hegdish, under all circumstances, will go to the temple repair fund. The value of it will end up in the temple repair fund. Here you have Rebbe Elazar as saying not so. So that this approach to Rebbe Lezer would be not like our Mishnah. In the first Lashon, by the first crown, we were saying that the approach of our Mishnah is like Rebbe Eliezer. So we have two versions of how Rebbe Eliezer views Stam Hekdeshos. The Gemara continues, Lo Nechluku Ela, the machlokus between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua that we saw above in a Tanaic source, is the controversy arises, Be'eder Sheishbo Mitzas Zechor Mitzas Nekevas. We have a flock or a herd of animals that's part male and part female. Some of the animals are male and some of the animals are female. Rebbe Eliezer Sovar Ein Cholek Es Nidro. A person doesn't split his vow or his dedication. From the fact that the female animals cannot be brought as a korban ola, zechorim nami lav olos. The male animals, though in potential a male animal could be a korban ola, but since the dedication was made together with female animals, the males in this case will not be offered as olos. Rabbi Yeshua Sovar cholek es nidro. A person does split his neder. Just to review this point, Rabbi Eliezer, in the source above that mentioned that the Zechorim are sold and the females are sold to respective people who need those kind of sacrifices, and the males are not offered directly as Korban Olos, that's because the dedication involved a mixed herd, mixed gender herd. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, that did split, as you can see in the Tanaic source above, he said, the Zechorim, they're not sold, they're brought directly as Olos. The Nekevos are sold. Rabbi Yeshua, Sovar, Cholek, is Nidro. A person does split when he makes his vow. Split meaning the males, those are dedicated directly to the altar, the females, not. Lishno, Achrino, Amri Law, a second version of Rav Ado Bar Ava. And what do we mean a second version? Rav Ado Bar Ava had been to present under what circumstances Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing. Here we'll have a second version of that. This, by the way, you can see, in addition to the Roman numerals 1 and 2, we've also dashed underlined the expressions Loi Nechluku Ela. Do you see those? Lo Nechluku Ela is his presentation of the Machlokes Tanoim Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Under what circumstances do they argue in the source above? So now we have, as we say, a second version of Ado Bar Ava. Lishna Achrino Amri Lo Amar Rav Ado Bar Ava Omar Rav Bishaloi Hiktish Ela Behema. In a case where a person had property, but all he was dedicating were animals. That's his entire vow concerned animals. Afilu Rebbe Lezer Moida, the Lo Shovik Inish Kodshe Mizbeach, Umakdish Lebedek Abayis. A person would not pass up on the opportunity of dedicating something to the altar in favor of the temple repair fund. Loi Nechluku Elo, Kishiyesh Sha'ar Nechosim Imohem. The controversy arises only when he has other types of holdings that are part of his vow or his dedication. In addition to animals, he has other items. The Rebbe Lozer Sovar, Ein Odom Cholek Es Nidro. A person doesn't make a split vow or split dedication, and therefore Midashar Nechosim Lola Kotche Mizbeach, just like his other holdings, his other utensils and tools and properties don't go to the altar, you don't bring a lawnmower to the altar. So Behemo Nami Lola Kotche Mizbeach. The Behemo also, though in and of itself it might have been fit as a sacrifice, in his dedication it's not a dedication to the altar. Hence, you saw Rabbi Eliezer above saying that the animals will be sold and their value will go to the temple repair fund. Rabbi Yeshua Sovar, Odom Cholek Es Nidro. A person, when vowing, will split. Udemeim Yiplu Imshar Nechosim Lebedek Habayis. And the value of those animals, and we spoke about Rabbi Yeshua's position with regard to the female animals, those going being sold. those being sold and their value going to the we should say the value of these other property, value of the other property, not the animals, will go to the temple repair fund. So Rabbi Yeshua's position is Olam Cholekes Nidro, a person will split in his vow, and the animals, if they're suitable for the directly for the altar, so they'll be brought on the altar as sacrifices, and those things that are not are sold, and they're money goes to the temple repair fund. Bishlamo lelishna basra, according to the second approach, things work out well. Hainu dikatoni im sha'ar nechosim lebedek habayis. Because in the second version of Rav Ado bar Avo, we see the a reference to a dedication with other nechosim. And therefore, this phrase, by the way, we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you scan up, you'll see this leads you to a star above, higher up, in pointing to a line in the source itself. And in the source itself, where Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar appeared, there was reference to selling animals together with other nechosim. That's, it said, Yiplu, the value of those nekevos fall together with other nechosim. Elo lelishno kamo, the first version of Rav Ado bar Avo that explained that their machlokas was only in a case where his dedication was of animals. In other words, the machlokas concerned a case of dedication of animals. Listening, yiplu lebedek habayis. It should have said that the funds go toward the bedek habayis. In other words, the funds of the nekevos, without any reference to other nechosim. Tanyo nami hochi udmeim yiplu lebedek habayis. In fact, there is a Tanaic source that the Gra, by the way, has a girsa here that says tni hochi instead of leaving out the word nami. In light of this question on the first version, we have a restatement, we'll say, of the original source to preserve, we'll say, the first lashon. And the Gra reads as tni hachi, read the original source as udmeim yiplu lebedek habayis. Their value goes toward the temple repair fund, and no reference made to other nechosim. So let's just to review these two lashonos. According to the first lashon of Rav Ado bar Avo, the machlokes would concern a case where a person is dedicating a herd of animals without any reference to other nechosim. According to the second lashon of Rav Ado bar Avo, the machlokes concerns a case where he is making a dedication of animals together with other nechosim. We pointed out here at the end that the second lashon would have made more sense with regard to the text of the original source, because in the original source there was reference to a machlokes in a case where there are other nechosim. The first lashon, which says that the machlokes exists in a case where there aren't other nechosim, we said the original source represented a problem. To this, the Gemara answered that we can restate the text or redo the text of the original source by saying that it in fact does not concern a situation of additional property. In other words, the machlokes concerns a case of a person dedicating just animals. Continuing in the Gemara, Hekdish Bedek Habayis Chal Al Hakol, the one who sanctifies things toward the temple repair fund, that type of dedication can attach itself to any type of item or property. The Suyemai, what does the expression Hakol come to include? The word hakol is an inclusive expression. So what is being included? Omar Avino, la suye shafuye veniva. Let us glance at the Rashi, Shvuya v'Nivashim, Hekdish Ilan, Levera Gabayas. If a person dedicated a tree to the temple repair fund, Yesh Me'ila b'Shapoyin, Im Shafoy, if a person, let us say, chipped off the tree, some wood, those wood chips would have sanctity to them. And if one were to benefit from them for personal purposes, he would be in violation of the Me'ilah sin. The Eish Me'ilah b'Neviyasan. The Neviyasan is the foliage, Olav Hanoshrim, the foliage that falls from the trees, B'Yemos HaChorof, during the winter season, V'Havyon Lo Lezevel, that is useful for fertilizer, so that if a person had dedicated a tree and then took the foliage, the leaves that fell from them, for his personal fertilizer needs, he would be in violation of Me'ilah. And that's all a function of our Mishnah's teaching that Kodshei Berek Abayas is Chal, takes hold of everything, even the wood chips and the foliage falling from trees. Umoyalin Begidu Lehen, and there is Me'ilah in their subsequent growth. Lasuye Mai, what is being included by this point? Omar Av Papa, Lasuye Cholov Hamukdoshin Ubeitse Torin, where the intention of the Mishnah is to include milk of sacrificed, sacrificial animals. A person dedicated a female animal that was lactating. The milk that it produces would be something that has the sanctity of Kodshei Berek Abayas. Ubeitse Torim, the eggs laid by Torim. Torim is a type of bird that is that could be dedicated as a sacrifice. So the eggs laid by sacrificial birds would also have Kedushas Berek Abayas. Kedisanya. The Tanaic source says, Cholov Hamukdoshim Ubeitse Torim, the milk from sanctified animals and eggs from sanctified birds, lo nanin v'lo moilin, one is not allowed to benefit from them on a rabbinic level, and one who does benefit is not said to be in violation of Me'ilah. B'amed v'mamurim, b'kotshe mizbeach. That's true if the animal and birds were dedicated directly to the altar. Avol b'kotshe berek habayis, if you're dealing with animals and birds that had been dedicated to the temple repair fund, so then we say hikdish tarnagolas, if he had sanctified a chicken. The chicken is, by the way, something that's not fit for the altar, but it is something that could be dedicated to the temple repair fund, where its value would be then used and donated to the temple repair fund. So if one dedicated a tarnagolas to the Kodshei Berek Habayis, moilin bebeitzo, also there would be a Me'ilah violation and one who benefits from its eggs. Chamora, if one dedicated a donkey, a female donkey, to the Kodshei Berek Habayis, Moalin b'chalava, one would be in violation if he uses that milk for personal benefit. Obviously, he's not going to drink the milk because that's something that's forbidden to consume. It's coming from a donkey, an unkosher variety animal. But nevertheless, there are other possible uses of donkey milk. And if one were to use it for his personal purposes, he would be in a Me'ilah violation. The afilu leman de'omar moalin b'gidulei mizbeach. And even according to the Manda Omar that says that there is Me'ilah with regard to the Gidule Mizbeach, things that are dedicated to the Mizbeach, things that are produced from the Mizbeach. In other words, things that have original items dedicated to the Mizbeach and their future production could result in Me'ilah. Hanimini Gidulin Dechazu LeMizbeach. That's a reference to, let's say, the offspring, things that are directly related to the Mizbeach, to the altar. Avol Gidulin Delo Chazu LeMizbeach, something that's not fit for the Mizbeach, really. For example, the milk of a Kodshei Mizbeach. Ein Moalim Bohen. There would be no Me'ilah violation. So if you focused on the milk of Kodshei Mizbeach across the boards, whether you hold Moalim B'Gidulei Mizbeach or Ein Moalim B'Gidulei Mizbeach, with regard to the milk, which is something that's not fit for the Mizbeach, there would be agreement that there would be no Me'ilah violation. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.